If you would, just stay right there in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I appreciate so much, Mark, you reading that scripture for us this morning and the prayer that you led afterwards. And I appreciate the opportunity to stand before you this morning and talk about God's Word and those things that we can learn and that we can gain from a study of God's Word. Verse 11 of what Mark just read to us says this. He says, "Such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and the Spirit of God." We could spend a lesson, obviously, emphasizing what we see in verse 9, what we see in verse 10, and how those things are terrible, awful, and how, you know, those things separate us from God. But what we're going to focus on is verse 11 and one small word. He says, all these things, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of God. I think it's an awesome thing for us to consider what we're going to talk about this morning. Talk about who I was. And so I give credit where credit is due. The Sunday that we were gone to Georgia to pick my mom up and we were driving back, Reuben Salas did the Lord's Supper that morning. And he asked a question. And the question was, who am I that Jesus would do these things for us? And so it literally, I said, oh man, that's great. That's a great topic for us to think about and to consider. So, number one, I want to thank you, Reuben, for the thoughts that you had that day. I don't remember everything he said, but who am I that Jesus would do all that he did for us? And so, as we were driving back, that's the thought that came into my mind. Well, who am I? Or, as I put it, who was I? Who was I? So, that's what we're going to look at this morning. We're going to look at who I was. And then we're going to transition. And we're going to look at who I am. And I think the transition that we see here is going to be one that we can all think about. And I think it's a question that we can all answer at the end of this lesson. And I hope that we can actually consider, as we look at this, who we were in a previous life. But for the grace of God, but for the sacrifice of Jesus, and who we are now. The first thing that we were was a sinner. Turn with me, if you would, 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1. We can all agree that before Jesus came into our life, we were sinners. We can all look at ourselves right now and say, you know what, I don't do the things that I should right now. But what I want to focus on this morning is, before we put Christ on in our lives, before that happened, our life was dominated by sin. That's who we were when we think about who we were. 1 Timothy chapter 1, starting in verse 12, says this. Paul, talking to Timothy, says, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has strengthened me because he considered me faithful, putting me into service. Even though I was formerly a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent aggressor, yet I was shown mercy because I acted ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was more than abundant with the faith and love which are found in Christ Jesus. It is a trustworthy statement deserving full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, among whom I am foremost of all. Yet for this reason I found mercy, so that in me as foremost, Jesus Christ might demonstrate his perfect patience as an example for those who would believe in him for eternal life. Let's look at those, a couple of things that Paul says here. Verse 13, he says, even though I was previously a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent aggressor. And then in verse 15, he says, but it's a trustworthy statement deserving full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, among whom I am foremost of all. And then verse 16, hugely important. For this reason I found mercy, so that in me as foremost of all, Jesus Christ might demonstrate His perfect patience as an example for those who would believe Him for eternal life. Paul says, if I can be saved, if Jesus can have that kind of patience in me, He can have it for anybody. He can have it for anybody. He says He's a violent, a blasphemer, a persecutor, a violent aggressor, and the foremost of sinners. We take stock of our own lives as Christians. Can we say that we had things that, wow, I can't believe that God would forgive me for this or for that? And can you look at your own life and see God's patience in you as you live each and every day? We might not have had the same sins that Paul had. We might have had different ones. But one thing is for certain. We're all sinners. And Christ Jesus can save all of us just like He did with Paul. Who else was I? I was an enemy of God. Of course, you guys know I'll go to James. James chapter 4. So a lot of times when you're preparing for things like this, the things that are on your mind are the places that you go for the examples that you talk about. But where could you find yourself in a condition worse than being an enemy of God? If you think about really what that means to be an enemy of God, it means you're actually trying to fight against God. You're actually trying to do things that God wouldn't want from you or wouldn't desire from you. We can understand that term in a physical sense with, you know, battles and things like that that may happen. But it's a whole different thing when you consider being an enemy against the Creator of the universe. This is a really thing for us to think and to consider. This is where we were. This is where we were before Jesus. James chapter 4, the first four verses says, what is the source of your quarrels and conflicts among you? Is not the source your pleasures that wage war in your members? You lust and you do not have, so you commit murder. You're envious and you cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask, you do not receive because you ask for wrong motives, so that you may spend it on your pleasures. You adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is hostility towards God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. James says when we do those things that he addresses there, your enemies with God. And, you know, I think many people could say before they had a relationship with God, before they accessed that life-changing blood, the most important thing to them would be themselves. I think if we look in society, a lot of us can say that. And we fall into that ourselves sometimes. But when you take stock and realize the things that God has done for you, our perspective should change. Those things that we think should change. And we should understand what a terrible condition it would be to be an enemy of God. But thanks to Christ Jesus and His sacrifice, I don't find myself in that category any longer. Finally, who I was eternally lost. Save for the blood of Jesus, all of us in here would be eternally lost. There would be no way we could have any kind of relationship with Him at all. None whatsoever. We'd be lost in our sins. We would still be an enemy of God, as we've talked about. This is who we were. All these things are the people that we were, but for the blood of Jesus. And so if we were to stop right here, you would say, man, that's terrible news. That's awful. But I'm going to spend the rest of this talking about some of the things that we are. So it's been a few weeks now. Mark and I and a few of the guys have lunch every so often, and I made an admission to him. I said, you know, when I was in my 20s, and I was a street cop. You know who I was in my mind? 24/7. I was a street cop. That was it. As I've grown older, as I've become more immersed in God's Word, and as I've let God's Word change me, it has changed who I am. I still love what I do for a living. It's a lot of fun. But it's not who I am. It's what I do every day. But who I am is a Christian, first and foremost. And so this is who we should all be. But this is who we should all be. And so I appreciate, Jeff, the songs that you led this morning, because that leads right into what we're going to talk about this morning. The first thing that we are now is redeemed. In Colossians chapter 1, starting in verse 13, this is what Paul tells the brethren there. For he rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on the earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is also the head of the body, the church, and he is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself will come to have first place in everything. For it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in him, and through him to reconcile all things to himself, whether things on the earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. And although you were previously alienated and hostile in attitude, engaged in evil deeds, yet he has now reconciled you in his body of flesh through death, in order to present you before him holy and blameless and beyond reproach. Is that not great news? That's some of the best news that we've heard all day long. This is who we were. But verse 22 says, but now, because of Jesus, you've been reconciled in his body through, he's reconciled you in his body of flesh through death. And this is how he presents you: holy, blameless, and beyond reproach. What an awesome thought. Who am I? I'm part of a people who belong to God. I'm part of a people who belong to God. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9, Peter tells his readers, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. For you once were not a people, but now you are the people of God. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. He says you're a holy nation, that you belong to God. He says there was a time that you weren't that. You weren't the people of God, but now you are the people of God. Once you hadn't received mercy, but now you receive mercy. In Deuteronomy chapter 7, where Peter had been basically quoting from, the people were being addressed about a time when God would bring them into the promised land and how he would clear many nations before them. They're told that God would deliver them. They're told to serve God and reject the idols of the people where they were going, because God had taken them as his own possession. This is the point that Peter hits here. He tells them, serve God. Continue to grow close to him. Because you know why? They were also the chosen people of God. And this is the challenge for you and me. Continue to grow closer to God. Continue to serve him. Because we too are the chosen people of God. You want to know who I am? I'm part of this group, this people that are chosen by God. What a comfort. You can't say it better than Peter said it, right? We can't say it any better than him. Also, we're eternally saved. And I couldn't think of better news than this one. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, starting in verse 13, we read this in our Bible class just a couple weeks ago. But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about those who are asleep, so that they will not grieve, and as indeed the rest of mankind do, who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose from the dead, so also God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep through Jesus. For we say this to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who remain, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Eternal. Do you realize how long eternity is? It's a long, long time, y'all. It's a long, long time. It's so important for us to wrap our mind around the fact that for all of eternity, we can be with God because of what we've seen here. Jesus told his disciples in John chapter 14, the first three verses, this: do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If that were not so, I would have told you. Because I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I am coming again and will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you also will be. You know what? You want to know who I am? A disciple of Christ. And because of that, you know what we are? Eternally saved. Now, we read a few minutes ago in Colossians, and we're going to look at the very last verse, 23, that I didn't read. Talked about how you've been reconciled in the body of Christ, and you're presented holy and blameless and beyond reproach. And verse 23 of that passage says this: if indeed you continue in the faith, firmly established and steadfast, and not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you have heard, which proclaimed in all creation under heaven, in which I, Paul, was made a minister. That's important. That's important. Don't shift. Focus. Focus on serving God and doing what he would have you to do. I want to remind you what we talked about for the Lord's Supper last week when we talked about Philippians chapter 2. And we addressed Jesus in that particular reading. And this is what Paul had to say, or this is what we got from that reading. Philippians chapter 2, let's just read through it really quick again. It says, therefore, if there's any encouragement in Christ, if any consolation of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility consider one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, as he already existed in the form of God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but he emptied himself by taking the form of a bondservant, and being born in the likeness of man and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, death on a cross. For this reason, also God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. This is what Paul says about Jesus. He says he didn't consider equality. He didn't consider equality with God as being something to grasp or to hold on to. Why? Your soul was more important. Your soul was more important. He came to the earth and did not consider his own physical life something that he should hold on to. Why? because your soul was more important. Your soul was more important. The fact that Jesus gave everything for us should let us know how important we are to Him. Isaiah chapter 30 in verse 15, the prophet tells the people that in repentance and rest you'll be saved. But he goes on to tell them that they're not willing. That they're not willing at that point. But verse 18 tells us of Isaiah 30 who our God is. It says this, Isaiah chapter 30 verse 18 says, "Therefore the Lord longs to be gracious to you, and therefore He waits on high to have compassion on you. For the Lord is a God of justice." What great news for us. There's a big difference, y'all, between these characteristics that we've looked at this morning. Who I was versus who I am. Huge difference in those things. I hope all of us in this room can look around and we can realize that God loved us enough to send Jesus for us. And without Jesus, we have no hope. But because of Him, we have redemption. And we're God's people. And we're eternally saved. And so, Isaiah warned his readers that they were fleeing. That they were fleeing from God. That's a sad place to be. I hope this morning we don't have anybody that's fleeing from God. I hope all of us this morning can realize that those characteristics of death and those things that we looked at are in our rearview mirror. We're going to finish this morning back there, right where we started in 1 Corinthians. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, Such were some of you, dead in your sins, lost in your sins, gone. But you were washed. You were sanctified and you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God. So if you haven't been washed and justified, the sad news is this morning you may leave here in that same state. But the good news is you don't have to. You don't have to leave here in that state. You can give your life to Jesus. The water, we're ready to roll. If you want to decide to give your life to Jesus, you can leave here this morning with a new thought in your mind. And that new thought will be, I'm redeemed, I belong to God, and I'm saved. That's a great thing for us to change and leave. We read that verse 23 of Colossians. Sometimes we fall, right? Sometimes we don't all do the same things that we should, and we don't keep up with the faith. If you've already done all this, but you've wandered away, what a great time for you to also change your mind and again walk out of here and say, I'm redeemed, I belong to God, and now I have all eternity to hope. He rescued us, and I hope we all realize that. I'd like to invite you guys to take out your songbooks. I guess it's going to be on the screen, so you don't have to take out your songbooks. This morning, if you've made the decision that you're not doing the right thing and you would like prayers, you can come. If you've also made the decision that you want to be baptized and you want to be redeemed and you want to be a people for God and you want to be eternally saved, there's no time like this morning. If you're subject to that, y'all come as we stand and sing.